Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
You're listening to episode 129 of the God Center Mom Podcast with me, Heather McFadden, and today I'm chatting with Lynn Hoffman.
And I, no matter what I tried to do, I seemed to be failing. And I felt so much shame about that that I actually thought I'd be better off going back to work and getting someone who could maybe be a better mom to them.
Yeah.
And when I realized that what was really driving me was shame, that I felt I was responsible for their happiness. I felt like I was responsible for their well-being. I felt like I was responsible for their, whether they were well-educated or whether they behaved. It was a reflection on me. That everything they did was a reflection on me. And therefore, if they didn't behave, if they didn't respond in a way that was acceptable to the school community or the church community, then I was a failure. And I would respond with control and anger and blame instead of just recognizing, you know, they're just limited human beings and they're just struggling and they need me to help them know what's in their mind and what's in their heart and why are they struggling too. So as ladies work toward getting in touch with what's going on in their minds and hearts, they can start helping their kids do the same thing.
I don't know about you, but I can definitely identify with what Lynn shared there. This whole idea that our kids behave in a certain way or motherhood is hard in a certain place and we feel shame and we feel unworthiness and it colors every day as moms. And whether you work at home or you work outside the home, there's this feeling that we're not doing it well and we don't know how to shake it. And we're not really cluing into our own brokenness. We're not really cluing into our own needs. And if we don't take care of ourselves, we're not really available to help foster our children's awareness of their feelings and the lies that they're believing. So I'm hopeful that Lynn, who's a leader in our church, who has written a book, Steps into God's Grace, it's a 12-step recovery-based Bible study, that she's going to encourage you to take that time to deal with the hard stuff so that we can be safe places for our kids. So often we want to talk about their behavior and how do I discipline better and how do I get them to go to bed when I want. And so often it's actually our own hearts that need healing. So I hope whether, you know, sometimes we think recovery, oh, that's for alcoholics, drug addicts, other situations. But I'm just encouraging all of us that there is a depth of relationship with Jesus we can still experience. Even if we haven't hit bottom yet. So this conversation is all about that. Before we get to it, I want to give a shout out to this week's sponsor. Y'all remember my friend Katie Orr. I interviewed her on the show, episode 101. Go back and listen to that if you haven't. It's where she explains her Focus 15 Bible study method. This method is a great way for you to get intentional Bible study in just 15 minutes a day. And Katie has a new Bible study out called Everyday Peace. I've done several of her everyday studies, and this one is one of my favorites. It's a 4-week study, and just like her other studies, it's easy to use. This one, Everyday Peace, will help you experience God's promised peace amidst everyday conflicts and concerns with just that 15 minutes a day. So if you are a woman who is pressed for time, and I know going into the fall, that's me, but you crave that depth of Bible study, you should check out Everyday Peace. Go to focus15.com. Join me in that study. It releases officially September 1st in bookstores, but you can get yours through online sources. So check it out. All right, let's get right to my interview with Lynn. Here we go. Hey, Lynn, welcome to the God Center Mom Podcast.
Thanks, Heather. I'm so glad to be here.
And I am just thrilled. You're kind of a legend at our church. You know, everyone's like, have you met Lynn yet? Everyone's talking about your work and our community, and our small group is just kind of stepping into that. And I've shared a little bit about that on the podcast. But I just know that God's going to use your story today, and I can't wait for women around the world to get to hear from you. And so before we get into all that, would you please just introduce everyone to your family?
Sure. I have a husband. I've been married to him for 22 years, my husband Richard. And I have three children, Lauren, Ryan, and Zach. They are all grown, and two of them are married. I also have two stepchildren, Kim and John.
Wow. Full house.
Yes, it is.
Full house. Now, you have been on this your own journey of recovery before you started leading the ministry at our church. And I would just love to hear more about that. How did you get in to this whole 12-step program process?
Yeah, that is kind of a long story. But what I've come to better understand now is that, you know, for most of my life, I really just relied on my performance to make life work. Mm. And I worked really hard to perform in school and then to perform in my job and then to try to be a great mom and a great wife. And I was exhausted. Mm. It seemed like nothing I did seemed to actually obtain the results I wanted. My kids were just really out of control in so many ways, and my marriage with my husband was really failing, and so I ended up getting a divorce. And it was at that time that I actually became a Christian and really sought God in a way that I had never done before. And I started praying and reading and going to Bible studies. And while I was working full time and had a business at that point in time, I was president of my own commercial real estate company and had 300 people reporting to me and spent a lot of time at work. Mm-hmm. And work is where I got a lot of my sense of significance and value. And work seemed actually easy. I could do work. Things were in control. I felt like life, my relationships weren't all great, but work went well. Divorce was not an easy thing for me, but I was really glad that I found the Lord in the midst of that. Not soon after, I remarried, and then, of course, found myself with two more children. So then I had five between the ages of 6 and 14. Mm. And I was really stretched by just all the issues and problems of trying to blend a family, being in a second marriage. And I really struggled. I was really having a hard time with trying to do everything right and doing everything perfectly, and just felt really lost. But God just kept impressing upon me to spend more time with Him. So I did that. I really, when I had free time, I would spend time reading His Word. I felt like there was so much I didn't understand. And over time, I really came to understand that He wanted me to stop working. Hmm. That was a really difficult place for me. It was about 5 years into my second marriage. My then husband was actually my business partner. So I said, I think God wants me to take the summer off and spend some time with the kids. They were really needing me, and their issues were becoming even greater. And so he said, okay, sure, for the summer. But when the summer was over, I said, I think God really wants me to quit work, which was a really hard decision for me because I really, as I said, got a lot of my value and significance out of my work, and I felt woefully inadequate as a parent. But I made that decision, and over the next few years, felt God drawing me more and more, that He wanted to teach me. He had so many things He wanted to teach me about Him and about myself and about how to have better relationships with other people. So for a long time, I just couldn't even go anywhere else because I just felt so compelled almost by God to be home and to study and to pray. During that time, the problems in our family became greater, and I was becoming increasingly frustrated to try to manage the kids, especially, and to keep them safe. And so a friend of mine encouraged me to go to recovery. And truthfully, maybe like a lot of people listening, I thought recovery, I mean, that's that thing for addicts and alcoholics, and that, I don't see how that could help me. What I came to find out was it was a safe place where I could go and start being with other people who are willing to actually be honest and stop pretending and willing to start talking about the reality of the problems they were going on in their life and how they could really start leaning into God to help them change and learn new ways of doing life. And that was a pretty amazing thing for me. Mm-hmm. While I was doing that, I was also continuing in my time with the Lord, and really at some point about 5 years ago, felt him saying, you know, I want you to write a book. And honestly, I never thought about writing a book. I've never thought of myself as a good communicator, especially not a good writer. But I just really felt like he was saying, I want you to write about everything I've taught you. Hmm. And I had some ladies who said that they would come and to a Bible study if I would lead a Bible study. And I would teach them about what God had taught me, and that I could use that as a format for and a forum for the lessons that I was going to write that were going to encompass this book. So I began doing that, and each week God would give me a new lesson and a new chapter, and those became the chapters of the book that eventually is now Steps into God's Grace, and that incorporated really what I learned in recovery with what God was teaching me in his word. So then I started using that study to lead other studies at the church and to help others come into a place of freedom from all the things that they were staying in bondage to, that were keeping them from having the life that God wanted them to live.
So great. I just love it. I love all of your story. I love, and I can identify with just working hard. I'm sure the woman out there listening, she could identify with that. Maybe even the one who's poured into a job and that seems like a safer place than being home with her children. And again, this isn't a conversation about working moms versus stay-at-home moms. It's you being obedient to God and where was your heart in each. For that mom that is listening, that is her struggle. And I know recovery, every struggle is different and God directs every heart. But if that mom identifies with that part of your story, what specific lessons did you learn through that process to help you?
You know, one of the things that I started learning about was the lies that I was believing in my mm-hmm. life that were controlling everything that I did. I didn't even know that there were lies that I believed. I mean, I had no awareness of that. Mm-hmm. I had no awareness previously about my heart and what was going on in my heart. And even though God's word talks so much about, you know, paying attention to your heart and be diligent with what is in your heart, I truly didn't have an understanding of what I was feeling at any particular moment or why I was feeling that way. Mm-hmm. I just kept pushing through life, just doing what the next thing seemed to be and what other people said was the right thing to do.
And what are some lies that go along with seeking approval and working hard?
I think for me, certainly I felt like it was my responsibility to know what to do, that it was my responsibility to figure things out, and it was my responsibility to make other people happy, and that other people's opinions of who I should be and how I should live my life had carried a lot of weight in my life. Mm. That was the most important thing, what other people thought about me and my life.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. That fear of man. I mean, that's that man's approval and like needing other people to think you're capable trumps all the other choices and motivations. Wow. Okay. So you write the book and you're teaching it and you've continued to teach with this book. And if y'all didn't catch it, it's called Steps into God's Grace. And the tagline is spiritual formation through God's word and the 12 steps of recovery. And I don't know if someone already is like, what's recovery? I only associate that with those who have addiction or alcoholism, or they've really hit the bottom and they are required to go to a recovery program. What about the mom who hasn't hit bottom, but she can resonate with your story of the lies, and she can resonate with your story of knowing something's wrong, but she doesn't know how to fix it? Why should she consider a 12-step recovery program?
Well, you know, that's really interesting when you look back at the history of the 12 steps and when it started. It actually started sometime around 1935. And it was a group of alcoholics who had also been raised in the church. They were Christians. And they got together and started using the Bible to find a way to get free of alcoholism. And they actually ended up writing those 12 steps based on what they got from God's word. And they, you know, the truth is that it's a process, a spiritual process by which God can transform us. It's a process of sanctification. It's Dallas Willard actually says that this, that the 12 steps are in your life with God's involvement are highly effective to bringing about personal transformation. And that there any spiritual formation process would be very similar to anything that was developed by Alcoholics Anonymous. And I think that that's what I found when I went to recovery. It was like these steps are biblical. Things like doing an examination of your thoughts, an examination of your feelings and your desires, and really being able to understand what those are, to understand how important it is to confess those, to be able to be free of those, to repent from those and ask God's help to help free you of those, and then to start practicing the process of making amends and offering forgiveness. They're all biblical steps. And as a matter of fact, most of the steps even mention, you know, with God's help or in the power of God. I had no idea what a spiritual process it was. So for any woman that's listening, I would say that it's a great way for you to consider how to go deeper with God, how to go deeper in your relationship with Him, how to strengthen your relationship with your husband, how to have better relationships with your kids and show them how to have better relationships in life. So I think there's a number of areas, whether or not you feel like you've got something that you're really struggling with that you want to be free from, that's a great reason. But if you're just wanting to have a deeper relationship with the Lord, I've not come across anything that's a better process for allowing that to happen.
It's interesting how many times you said relationship, right? Like we think we're this isolated individual with our own struggles and our own story, but we bump into people every second, right? Unless we're living in a monastery alone. I mean, our broken pieces and our broken places and our lies influence our actions and our thoughts and our, you know, ways we treat other people. And I've even seen there's a chart in your study where it goes through, an interaction with an individual and kind of breaking down what went wrong, you know, writing out what did I believe and what did I think needed to happen. I'm probably messing up your whole chart, but I just think it's taking a step back and looking at your feelings, looking at your history, looking at your habits and analyzing them in a way that I think in our busyness of life and our distractions, we don't stop often to do that. And so I've already found we haven't gone through the study yet as a small group. We've been attending the larger group recovery time. And then what we found helpful was going through this feelings chart, which has been around again forever, right? These eight feelings,
right?
And just stopping to say, what am I feeling right now? And I think as moms, we often are so disconnected from our own bodies. We're so interested in making sure people are fed and alive and safe and that the house is staying in order, that we don't stop to think, what am I actually feeling right now? And it's not tired, because that's not a true feeling, an emotion. Talk through with everyone listening that feelings chart and the value of that for a mom.
Sure. I think that this goes back to, as we were just talking about, I really never understood what I was feeling, because in my family of origin, feelings weren't really something you paid a lot of attention to unless they were somebody else's in the family. There was maybe one person who got to have a lot of feelings. Nobody else in the family could have feelings. And we were all just supposed to ignore how we were feeling and just do the right thing, whatever that was. And not that doing the right thing is wrong. It's just that you want to start understanding what is really going on inside of me. God wants to do a work on our inside. And so we have to stop and start looking at what's really going on in our inside. And for this part, to look at our heart, to really consider, okay, what am I really feeling? And for me, I will say, the only thing I could ever say when people ask me how I was doing or how I was feeling, I would say overwhelmed. As you said, either tired or overwhelmed. And tired obviously is not an emotional feeling, but overwhelmed is actually fear. I didn't know that. I didn't know that that was fear. And so when I look at this chart, I can now say, if I'm feeling overwhelmed or apprehensive or feeling threatened, then I'm feeling fear. And so what am I afraid of? So it helps me then start going to a deeper level. What am I afraid of? Am I afraid of failure? I'm afraid of other people's judgment. Am I afraid of making a mistake? It helps me start connecting with what's really going on inside of me. And so that I can now start talking about that and processing that and asking myself, is that a valid fear or an invalid fear? And so the, each of these help us better understand that. Shame was one that I didn't understand at all, because we have several here: anger, fear, pain, joy, passion, love, shame, and guilt. And I now understand that I sort of put shame and guilt together. And now I understand that guilt is when I'm feeling regretful about something I did. Some action that I took that I now feel sorry that I did that. That's guilt. Shame, on the other hand, is when I don't feel like I'm enough. It's it's about my sense as a person.
Your worth, and, right?
Yeah. That yes, that I as a person don't have value. I'm worthless. I'm a failure as a person. I'm not a failure because I just did this wrong thing, but I'm a failure just as a person. And I honestly started realizing that this particular feeling is something that is even stronger in my life than I thought the fear was. That truly, most of the things that are going on in my life, I'm responding to out of this sense of I'm not enough. And I'm never going to be enough. If my husband's not happy, it's because I'm not enough. If my kids aren't happy, it's because I'm not enough. And so to be able to start understanding, wow, that's what's really going on in me, and to start processing that with God and with other people and talking about, is that a valid feeling? How much of that is driving what I do more so than God?
And having interacted with some women the last year and praying with them, and I've found that the enemy likes to keep them busy in that guilt and shame feelings. Like both of them, either guilt over decisions that they've made, or that feeling of unworthiness because of the decisions sometimes that they made, that then puts a value statement on them that I'm not enough for the Christian church, so I need to work harder to be a better Christian. And the enemy keeps them so busy with those feelings of, one, not telling people what I've done, whether it's an abortion, whether it's a marriage that failed, whether it's a child who's gone away from the faith, whatever it is that there's. And even that is not guilt, right? That's, anyway, I'm going off track. But they, this enemy keeps them on those things so that they never go back to that original lie that was placed long ago in their childhood. Long ago in the time of innocence, the enemy whispered something into their ear and placed a seed. And that's what caused them to then act out in these choices, or that's what's causing that feeling of unworthiness that I don't think we take the time to really go back and uncover. And this study, I think, is helpful for taking that time.
I agree with you. We don't ever take the time to go back and uncover it, mostly because we don't even know there's something there to uncover.
And
that's the reality of most of us, even as Christians, that we didn't understand that after salvation, God wanted to continue to do a work in us. He wanted to continue. That was the whole new covenant, to give us a new mind and a new heart so that we could follow him. And that's the process of what this will accomplish for us, is a working with the Holy Spirit to help him go through and identify the lies in our minds that are continuing to drive so much of what we do that we're unaware of, that we're so deceived by the enemy. He's done a great job of keeping us deceived, and we don't even know we're deceived. So that makes it even worse. And so to really be able to say, wait a minute, maybe the truth is that I've got things in my head that I believe that are wrong and that they drive so much of what I do, mm-hmm. or that I have feelings and things that were placed in me either through my family of origin or through the enemy or through other people in my life. And those are the wounds that are continuing to drive the decisions that I make, mm-hmm. or my responses. I was, one of the things I thought a lot about was, as a mom, I so struggled with raising my children.
Yeah.
I just felt so woefully inadequate, and their problems to me seemed to be so real and so big, and I didn't have the answers for them. Mm-hmm. And I, no matter what I tried to do, I seemed to be failing. And I felt so much shame about that, that I actually thought I'd be better off going back to work and getting someone who could maybe be a better mom to them.
Yeah.
And when I realized that what was really driving me was shame, that I felt I was responsible for their happiness. I felt like I was responsible for their well-being. I felt like I was responsible for their, whether they were well-educated or whether they behaved, it was a reflection on me. That everything they did was a reflection on me. And therefore, if they didn't behave, if they didn't respond in a way that was acceptable to the school community or the church community, then I was a failure. And I would respond with control and anger and blame instead of just recognizing, you know, they're just limited human beings and they're just struggling and they need me to help them know what's in their mind and what's in their heart and why are they struggling too. So as ladies work toward getting in touch with what's going on in their minds and hearts, they can start helping their kids do the same thing.
So huge. I mean, so huge. I have a feeling almost every mom listening could identify with what you just described of that. It's almost like the umbilical cord was cut, but there was another cord that's there that we're so tied. Our worth is so tied to their behavior and their performance that it's almost like we need to cut again the tie and be fully loved by God and see our full worth and our full identity separate from our kids, and then pour out into our kids as separate souls that God loves that is directing, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's super hard. It's super hard. How did you ever, like, I mean, sort out how to do that, or how could you help a mom who's like, yes, I struggle with that right now?
You know, I so understand, and you're right, it is so hard. These are the things that I just think it's too bad that the hardest job that exists, I think, in the world is being a mom. Mm-hmm. It's a very, very difficult thing that God has entrusted these little beings to us, and we do feel woefully inadequate to care for them well. But thankfully, we can trust that God's caring for them through us, and trust that he's going to show us, you know, the way. So I would just say that the most important thing a mom can do right now is to help herself get in touch with those things in herself. Allow the Holy Spirit to start rooting out the things in your mind and your heart that are affecting you in your everyday life. They're affecting every decision you make, and they're affecting every response that you have, and helping you better see what those are and helping you heal those and move away from those to truth, so that then you can start pouring those same kinds of things into your kids and helping them know their hearts better. Just to be able to sit down with them and just say, gosh, you seem really angry. Are you maybe afraid about something right now? Mm-hmm. And can you, let's talk about that. What may be going on inside of you? And I don't know about your listeners, but certainly nobody ever did that in my life.
Mm.
And so as an adult now, I'm just starting to better understand what was going on in my head and what was going on in my heart. And to have the benefit of having our kids now have that and really being able to get in touch with that is I think a great thing that our moms could be doing for their kids.
Well, and even the way you just described that, you sounded like guests I've had on before, Jim and Lynn Jackson. They have this Connected Families ministry, and their first step in disciplining your kids is the "you are safe" message. And it stems from the mom or dad getting in touch with their own stuff so that they can be that safe place. Because when we haven't dealt with our stuff and the child acts out and we feel overwhelmed, which is actually fear, and we act in anger, that's the message they're getting, is you're not safe. You are not safe in my presence, because I'm just going to flip out because I'm scared. I can't give you the ability to express any emotions because I don't even know how to grasp my own emotions, right?
Right. Absolutely. And I think that's the thing that we project to kids, don't feel safe. They mm-hmm. don't feel safe to be able to really talk, and they don't understand what's going on with them. They need someone else to step in and help them. So as soon as we can start getting in touch with our own insecurities and fears and better understand how those come out, that we can then start helping our kids do that as well.
So good. Now, you've kind of said it throughout the whole show, but is there anything you want to add to about the biblical basis of your study? I know you talked about the redemption and how we're being made new. Anything else you want to add about that?
You know, I think that I was really struck as I was reading God's word just about how he created a rescue plan for us for fallen man. Mm-hmm. And that rescue plan involved everything that we would need. That included not only Christ dying for us, but that also included the Holy Spirit being placed in us, and he would do the work to transform us into the image of Christ. Mm. And somehow we have made that into, it's my job to transform me into mm-hmm. the image of Christ. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we're doing everything just by trying to force right behavior on the outside, but we're not doing anything to change what's going on inside of us. And that's where the Holy Spirit wants to do the work. Mm. And he will do that, and he wants to do that as part of working through basic spiritual disciplines. And that's what this process of recovery is. It's just a discipleship process that allows the Holy Spirit to open up our hearts and our minds and really get to the root of where sin is active. And it helps us see how sin functions in our lives and where it's causing us to not be able to truly follow God and to just really be creatures who love as God loves.
Mm. I think of that Romans analogy of the spirit and the flesh, right? Before Christ, we are bound by the flesh. We can do nothing but what our flesh tells us to do. And then with Christ and believing in him, we are freed from that. We are under the kingdom of Christ's authority, but we still live in the flesh. We're still in the flesh, but we're not ruled by it. So there's this battle, spirit and flesh, right? That we have to admit is there. If we think that we can just do it on our own, we're fighting flesh with flesh. But I think with the Holy Spirit, we're given like an inner fighter who can supernaturally, in a way we probably don't understand, won't ever understand, fight for us. Like when God says, be still, it really means let drop. Let your weapons that are of this earth drop. And I'm going to fight for you, but you need to turn to me and let me do that. Know that I'm fighting for you. Know that I want you to beat this battle and win this battle and be more Christ-like, but you have to surrender all of that junk and all of that brokenness and all that shame so that you can be healed and you can be whole. This is a step-by-step journey. It's not a one and done thing, right? If it could be, if we could just like, yes, I believe in you, Jesus, and we're just like Jesus, that would be awesome. But, it's a dependency there that is humbling and awesome.
I think that you're so right in everything you just said. And that's the part that for me, at least, I didn't understand. So much of my initial Christian walk was just about, if I just do enough right, good things, then I'm going to be a good person. Mm. And all of the right, good things I didn't really change what was going on inside of me. I was still feeling exhausted and fearful and despairing and afraid. Mm. And so I really cried out and said, God, there's just got to be something more to this Christian life, because this is exhausting to try to live like this. Surely when you said that, you know, your burden would be light, that this doesn't feel light. And what I found was that I hadn't really surrendered and allowed the Holy Spirit to do the work in me that he wanted to do. But I was unwilling or unaware that that process was available to me.
It's so awesome, Lynn. She's so great. I was talking to my parents last night and they're like, Heather, I was telling them about all of this. And they're like, this was not talked about when we were growing up. This, even the idea of the Holy Spirit in us and all of that, it was not talked about. And they said, it's just so great that the church is embracing the work of the Holy Spirit in our life without it going so far swinging one way that we're scared of the Holy Spirit, but that we can, I think the enemy used that, right? Rob us of the gift when Jesus said, I'm going to give you a gift, a helper, a counselor. And we're like, we just forgot about that. It's so exciting. I'm so thankful to have your resource that when someone comes to me and says, I really want to go deeper with God, what can I do? That I can point them your way. And I know it's kind of set up, it's probably not an individual study. The goal is to be in a group, right, when you do this.
The goal is to be in a group. It can be done individually, but I think the benefit, like with any study that you do, doing it as a group and being able to share and hear other people's stories makes a big difference.
Yeah, and then tell us about Celebrate Recovery or Recovery for Life. Can people find that around, you know, the United States or the world?
I started in, we started as a Celebrate Recovery ministry at our church at Northwest Bible. And not too long ago, we changed to the Recovery for Life, which is a completely independent recovery ministry.
Okay.
They're both really good ministries.
And they're just around, like, could people go to that site if I put the links in the show notes?
They can go to that and they can find, Recovery for Life at Northwest Bible Church. They can find it online, and they can also find it on the Northwest Bible Church website.
But if they want to search for locations near them,
if they want to, they can go to the Celebrate Recovery has international. It's an international ministry, and they will list all of the different locations that they have.
Fabulous! I'll definitely put that in the show notes so that if someone's looking for even more accountability and direction, that they can seek that out. Right. Oh, Lynn, I've loved chatting with you. You're the best. All the rumors were true. And I'm just so thankful that you came and shared with us all your own journey and process and all God's done in your life and doing.
Thank you very much, Heather. Thanks for having me.
Of course. My pleasure. All right. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye. So if you're considering joining a recovery program, I just want to give you that little nudge, if the Holy Spirit hasn't already given you the nudge, to check it out. You know, gather some gals together. If you have a group of women and you've been struggling through this life and you're ready to know God a little bit more, do this together. Gather together or find a Celebrate Recovery or Recovery Life for Life group in your area. I also want to remind you about that local event I mentioned a couple episodes ago. If you want to learn more about how you can make a similar transition in your life, parenting, or relationships, just like Lynn described in this episode, join me and Lynn at Northwest Bible Church on Wednesday, August 31st and Thursday, September 1st from 6:30 to 8 p.m., two nights, for a special event featuring guest speaker Andy Crouch. He's the executive editor of Christianity Today, and he's the author of several books, including Playing God and Culture Making. And this event is sponsored by the recovery ministry that God led Lynn to help start over 15 years ago and where she serves as the director of ministry. So the topic Andy will be speaking on is What Rules Your Heart? The Journey from Image Making to Image Bearing. And you know, because it's being sponsored by Recovery, the ticket cost is $0, but you have to reserve your spot. So if you're interested and you are able to go and you live in this area, go to godcentermom.com/Andy Crouch. You spell his name C-R-O-U-C-H and get your spot. I'd love to see you there. All right, y'all, I am on this journey with you. My heart is slowly being healed by Jesus, and I'm learning more and more about the lies that I have believed and the ways that I have been walking, and I am believing the same for you. That I don't know if you've seen a theme in the episodes lately, but my heart is for you to be whole and for you to see the healing that Jesus has to offer. You may have been believing in Jesus your whole life. You may have been reading your Bible and going to church, but there's a depth that I desire for us all to get to that I think is available this side of heaven. And if you're a mama and you just need a word, I want you to know you can be strong and courageous and not be afraid because God is with you today. Jesus is with you today. If you have set your trust in him, he is with you today. So I am praying with you for that healing and that wholeness. Okay. Have a great day.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the God-Centered Mom Podcast. If you're looking for more resources on how to replace me with he, go to GodCenteredMom.com. That's where you'll also find show notes with any links mentioned by our guest. I want you to really understand and know that God is just as present while you are washing dishes at your kitchen sink as while you are worshiping Him in a church pew. He sees your service to your family and He is pleased. As it says in Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with His love, and He will rejoice over you with singing. Have a great day.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,